Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast, growing rugby one fan at a time.
And welcome back, rugby fans. It's another episode of the Rugby Rant, episode 164.
164. Dude, this is that we're getting closer to that next milestone of 175. I mean, we will hit it this season, and I'm excited. We've got a great season of rugby ahead, Scott.
Dude, I'm super excited. MLR starting. You had the Vancouver Sevens was exciting.
Yeah.
You have all this stuff happening internationally. You have Six Nations, so I get to crack a Guinness at 7 a.m. on a Monday. Not call myself an alcoholic. But seriously, it's really...
You're not an alcoholic. You're a rugby-aholic. That's what
exactly.
You just got to reframe the issue, my man. Reframe
exactly.
The issue.
You know, I'm hot off a college football national championship, and I'm going...
And you still haven't declared yourself a fan of any particular team, by the way.
Well... I think that might show up this episode. At least that's what I promised Edgar Sue Parks.
Okay.
And your son called me a tease. So shout out to Preston.
That's probably the first time you've ever been called that.
Not really.
No.
But seriously, you're right. We're coming up to a great MLR season. We kicked off, you know, a new year with Six Nations rugby, and we have Division II rugby. We have the European Cup playing. I mean, I know this is a North American rugby show, but let's be honest, you know, we watch as much rugby as we can. But before we get into all that, let's get into Around the Pitch.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
Rob, take it away for the first Around the Pitch topic there.
Oh, the first Around the Pitch topic. Yes. Well, while we are talking about international rugby, folks, just hot off the presses as of recording today, or maybe it was the day before, the USA and Canada and several other nations in the Pacific Rim area announced a schedule for the test window coming up this summer. And so you have the Women's Pacific Four series, and let me just describe what that involves. There's a total of six fixtures starting on Saturday, April 27th, featuring USA versus Canada. And then Saturday, that would be May 11th, New Zealand versus the United States, Australia versus Canada. Then the 17th is Australia versus the United States. The 19th of May is New Zealand versus Canada. And the 25th of May is New Zealand versus Australia, which is pretty cool. So lots of women's rugby. And let's just say this, and the women's side of things, we can't say that our women won't have an opportunity to really cut their teeth against some of the best rugby in the world, because it's USA and New Zealand and Canada and Australia are all our foes. So it's going to be a good one. Then on the men's side of things, you've got the Pacific Nations Cup and you've got 3 weeks of international test rugby. So on week one, again, just after the MLR season, starting August 23rd through 25th, you got Fiji and Samoa, Canada versus Japan in Vancouver. Week two, August 30th and 31st, you have Samoa versus Tonga. And in LA, you've got US versus Canada. So we're going to get some great rugby. Fiji and New Zealand are coming in August. Then, of course, LA is going to host USA and Canada. And then finally, week three, September 6th and 7th, Tonga versus Fiji, and USA is traveling to Japan. So there's some really good rugby ahead on both the men's and women's side, the international window. We're going to be bookended to, well, we're going to get the women's in the middle of the MLR season, and then we're going to, the back end, we're going to get the men's. It should be exciting.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it was a great international schedule. We're getting, you know, that late April for the women, you know, is kind of, I would say, you know, a dead period for other internationals, right? So it's a good place to have that. And then the men's, obviously coming off of the MLR, and me and Rob were kind of talking about, you know, what we're going to chime in. We're going to send Scott Lawrence some emails about how we think he should set up current, the camp schedule. Based
upon, I'll shoot him a text when we're done.
Yeah, you know, because we're definitely part of that crew. The brain trust is considering he's the general manager and the head coach, he needs some help. And obviously we're the help because we're the saviors of USA Rugby. But it's my turn with my first topic. So my first topic is actually talking about Vancouver Sevens. And shout out to Kat Roach and Cisco Lopez, part of the All-American referee crew that did the cup final and the bronze final for Vancouver Sevens. You know, it's great to see referees from our country, you know, being represented and working not only, you know, the sidelines, but working the centers and really honing their craft on an international level like this. It's a good start. This is what we like to see. And, you know, as we're going into the MLR season, we always, you know, want to see those referees transitioning from the MLR to different levels of rugby, just like we like to see the players do. So it was good to see that, and we'll see what happens in LA with LA Sevens. I have a feeling it might happen again.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. And by the way, I mean, for me, the word is legitimacy on that one, right? I mean, for years and years, rugby playing, dominant rugby playing nations, you know, UK, England, Scotland, Wales, New Zealand, Australia, France, kind of turn a nose up at the United States, like we were second class. And I think a big step is being taken by our officials, being recognized at the highest of levels on the international stage, certainly gives USA Rugby more legitimacy in the world standing. So kudos to all of you. I sent my congratulatory message to Kat for being in that final. Way to go, girl. We love to see it. You're awesome. We love the work that you do. I'm going to hit my next around the pitch. And this one is interesting. Folks, I had the opportunity just today as of the recording Tuesday to actually get together on the production end with some of the folks in the MLR, some of our production crew, and none other than David Wilkinson, who is now the head of referees. He is from Ireland. And I wanted to bring some knowledge to the show here on this one. Just so you guys know, they were really working hard behind the scenes, the MLR officials and the league itself, to not, I wouldn't want to say improve the standard, but to keep the standard evolving with officials. And the MLR officials met for 2.5 days in Florida to review and discuss some of the finer points of what they wanted to see happen this season. And they met with coaches as well. So they got input from coaches on this end. And what was interesting is there was kind of a theme. They wanted attacking rugby and they wanted a fair contest. That was one of the buzzwords, so to speak. And I had a lot of takeaways from this. But, you know, again, this was a collaboration with coaches. They had analyzed some scenarios from the final that were kind of interesting. They brought in some video from some of the internationals going on in the Six Nations, and they all used them to educate us, to educate one another on what's going on. So one of the big things I want to address is TMO. And the theme of the day pretty much was they will emphasize that the TMO will only come in and say something to the official when there's clearly an infringement, right? So unlike what happened in the Scotland, I think it was a Scotland, England game, if I'm not mistaken, or the Scotland, France game, one of the two. Oh, Scotland, France game. There was a grounding that the official saw, wanted to call, the the crew came on and said no, was no grounding, but it wasn't clear. So they're trying to avoid some of those areas in which the TMO is kind of A, slowing the game down, and B, influencing the game. They wanted to put it more in the hands of the head official and with their help, the ARs. So I think we're going to see some pretty good improvements in that regard. They're going to really focus more on the on-field officials. They're going to try to reduce the TMO interventions in the game. And I think as fans, not only in stadium, also watching at home, I think, and fans of teams, we're going to be able to appreciate this. And again, there's a lot of this feedback is coming from the coaches.
That's good. I mean, again, it's good to see productive feedback coming from the coaches. It's good to see a guy who is running the referees, be open to, I wouldn't say, again, it's not criticism, but being open to a dialogue of what the coaches saw last year and what they're looking for. And it's one of those things like, you know, I think consistency is something they're always striving for, but it's also one of those things that unfortunately is referee by referee. And this isn't a knock on anybody, but I always felt like, you know, Scott Green was very strict on his offsides, you know, calls. And you could see a few teams, it would take a little while in match to realize, hey, I need to take a half a step farther back than what was going on in practice. And what, you know, just to shout out, you know, MLR fans, what used to happen last year, we're going to find out if it was happening this year, is they would have regional referees that would referee during practices at specific MLR teams. So, you know, you're working with an official who's calling it a certain way, then you're going out to a game and they're calling it a different way and you have to adjust. I mean, that's the sport, but you know, I think there's still overall consistency issues since day one of refereeing, and we just need to clear those up.
So just two points that I neglected to address. One of them is player sanctioning. There's a clear kind of flow chart of how they want officials to handle it. And that's something that they really drilled into their heads over that 2.5 days. And I think this part came from coaches. Clear, concise, firm communication, right? So I think players and coaches can live with, you know, that human error that can happen as long as the officials are clearly communicating. Scott, and to your point, that's one of the things that, you know, you agree with his decision or not, Scott Green was a great communicator with the boys on the field, right?
Yeah, I mean, he would, the offsides, you know, New York would always have an issue with his offsides calls because they were in an offsides position and they couldn't adjust. And he would tell them, we got to take a half a step back or I'm going to call the offsides. And he'd call him out on it to say that. So again, it's not knocking him for calling.
No.
That's the call on the field. But, and this will kind of go into something I want to talk about later on, maybe in a couple weeks down the line. But anyway, so we're going to move on to my second topic. We're talking about our boys over in Colorado, the Raptors. Unfortunately, they dropped both of their matches in weeks 1 and 2 this past week, playing the Pampas. You know, in Buenos Aires, losing 52-17. I got to be honest, you know, the Pampas looked great. They had the bonus points filled at halftime, and the Raptors really got punched in the mouth in the first half, finally scoring their first points in a try in the 40th minute right before half, coming in, scoring another try with 60 minutes and really only getting one penalty conversion. It was a tough match. Honestly, I'm pretty sure we had a couple injuries. I believe Mike Grandy, one of the locks, Mike Grandy, went out early in like the 10th minute. And as we know, it's tough to have a lock get knocked out early on, and then you're kind of scrambling because, you know, a lot of locks don't play 80 minutes. They're like a prop, you know. Usually you're kind of cycling some of them out, or at least one of them out, because they do play a lot of minutes through the course of the season. So if you lose one off the bat 10 minutes into, you know, week two, it's rough. My boy Patrick Madden was the fly half for the match. He did pretty good. Iona product, Watson Filikitanga, playing over on as one of the centers. Shout out to Iona, my boys. But a couple replacements came on. Again, it's tough, but they're going into week three in Peñarol. They're playing Peñarol on March 1st, Montevideo. All these have been on YouTube. So guys, you know, we talked about the Raptors in a couple episodes ago, and we talked about engagement and ease of watching them. Well, because all of the Southern South American teams have their stuff on YouTube, you can now watch them on YouTube. So go check out that YouTube link so we can watch the Raptors in week three, and let's see if we can get it going, fellas. So, I mean, that kind of wraps up our round of pitch. But I think Rob had a special announcement. I mean, we've been doing this now for what, 3 years, Rob, this competition,
Yeah, this will be 3 years. So for those that don't know, you can jump on Superbrew, SUPERBRU.com. You can look up the Major League Rugby Superbrew contest. Just type in Rugby Rant Podcast and we will come up, send me a request and I will accept it. I've got a bunch of people that have just recently joined to keep this alive and interesting. But the most important thing, use code NOSEAFAR, 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 all one word. That's the code to get you in. Basically, even if you miss the first week, every week there's a winner, $25 gift card courtesy of Rugby Now, who power shop MLR. You can get yourself a gift card to buy that sweet gear of your favorite team. And of course, those of you guys who are committed to a full season of 18 weeks and you stay in the hunt, stay near the top of the board, you can win yourself a grand prize of $150 gift card. That's a jersey and another nice trinket to go along with it, at the very least. The individual who gets second will get a second prize of $100 gift card, and the third place winner even gets a little something something, and that is a $50 gift card. So jump on in. As I said, you don't need, you know, even if you miss out on the first week, no worries, you can still get some weekly winnings and put that towards some sweet merch courtesy of Rugby Now, who power shop MLR. And have fun, man, getting some banter, and you can go against myself, Scott, the Rugby Rant podcast team, and of course the Rugby Now team, who's entered in this contest in two. So all for some bragging rights and a little bit of fun, and oh yeah, some sweet prizes to go along with it.
That's great. I mean, this is something that we look forward to every year, even though we're not eligible for those sweet prizes. We like going against the fans. We like to see where our ranking is. My ranking was a little shoddy last year, but prior to that, I was, you know, top five for 3 years before that. So, you know, hopefully I'll get back on top, Rob.
I think you will. You're always real good at this. I'm freaking awful. But fortunately, my child does a nice job himself. So he's usually right there in the top 10 in the hunt. So, and he always wins a week or two there. So hopefully he'll pick up the slack for his dodgy and poor old man.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said something, you said favorite team. Now, you know, Rugby New York will always be my heart, but the time has come to pick my fandom for 2024. That's not to say I might not change my fandom in 2025, but 2024, I finally, you know, and I put out a nice little post, unfortunately, when Rugby New York went away, and I, you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of thoughtful consideration, a lot of merch from a bunch of different teams. So what I'm going to tell you is right now, who came in second? So shout out to RFCLA. They came in second in my team search. I got, you know, three good friends over there in Jason Emery, Andrew Coe, and Dan Hollinshead, you know, all iron workers. You know, Hollinshead, a rooster too. You know, so really I was looking at RFCLA. I think they're going to have a competitive team. I think they're going to show up in that Western Conference, and I have, you know, a bunch of friends there. But it really came down to, in my heart, I'm an East Coast guy. You know, I'm a Rangers guy, right? I'm a Mets guy. You know, I'm a Knicks guy. You know, I'm East Coast. I'm a New York Ironworkers guy.
You're a Wolverine guy and a Packer guy. But that's in the Midwest, Scott.
Actually, technically, per the song, Michigans are champions of the West, which, you know, fighting on to L.A. They play in the Rose Bowl just about every year. Come on, dude. But with that being said, this year, 2024, the big guy will be a fan of the Chicago Hounds.
And look at that.
I'm taking my talents to Chicago with the hammer.
There you go.
My buddy Dylan Fawcett and all the good guys we know over there. Mark O'Keefe, you know, and I'm really excited, guys. Really excited to be over there.
Well, little do you know, Scott, when I saw him last week, he basically threatened me that if you didn't switch to the Hounds, that the butcher would come back to New York and stuff you in a trunk and dump you in the East River.
So, hopefully we'll have a great season this year as Hounds fans. I've joined the Kennel Club. Shout out to those people there. And we're going to work to try and do some stuff with the Kennel Club and get going. And maybe I'll do some shows like I was doing with New York. Maybe we'll have some pregame shows while Hammer is off doing his thing as the stadium announcer at SeatGeek Arena. We'll go from there. So, yeah, listen, I really did take a long time. You know, New England was never on the fucking table. But I really did take a long time.
You'd have been dead to me if that would have happened.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, Caleb Geiger went there. I can't even speak his name. you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, I the things I could say. No, I'm joking. Caleb's a really good dude. But not joking around. It was tough for me to decide. And again, I kind of, you know, Rob has courted me over to Chicago. I was there last year, even though I was an enemy amongst them. Last year, they really treated me well and got to see a bunch of friends there. You know, shout out to James English and Newman and all those guys working behind the scenes to make sure that's a good product. You know, Game T, all those guys that were out there, we got to hang out with. So, again, went with the East Coast, and I'm a Chicago Hounds fan, baby. So,
there you go.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's. I'm sure everybody's surprised. But so. Speaking of the Chicago Hounds, our rant this week is actually going to be about week one of the MLR. We're going to talk about the schedule. We're going to talk about timing. We're going to talk about who's playing who. All that right after a word from our sponsors. And we're back, Rugby Rant fans. We're talking about our rant of the week here. We're talking about the week one MLR schedule. Week one is upon us. Now, let me just go through.
Hey, hold on. Hold on. Okay. Do you know how fucking excited I am for this week? Do you understand how excited I am this week?
How excited?
I am chuffed with excitement. I am so pumped for this week. Not only is it week one, but fans, I got to tell you, I got to puff myself up here. I am going down to New Orleans, and I'm actually going to be a stand-in fill-in for Jeff Ormsby on the color commentary of the NOLA OGDC broadcast.
Look at that.
Yeah, so I get to actually see and be in stadium and call a game on opening weekend. So I'm pumped. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
So if I do a shitty job, don't say anything to me.
Let him know.
My ego, like,
absolutely, like, let him know.
Like sour grapes.
Terrible human being, Robin. So speaking of the first match, 4 p.m. Yeah. on March 2nd is NOLA Gold. DC's coming down to the gold mine. The next match, 8 p.m. We got the Warriors going down to Houston to play the Sabercats, and then to round it off, which is probably going to be a match I'm going to have to watch the next day because the start time is 10 p.m. We have Legion going all the way up to Starfire to play the Seattle Seawolves. That rounds out day one, day two, similar kind of timing. We have the Chicago Hounds going down to Fort Lauderdale to play Miami. We have New England Free Jacks making the trip down to Charlotte to play Anthem. And then we have the Dallas Jackals heading to L.A. to play RFC L.A. Now, all of these matchups, Rob, are in the current conferences. So it's all East Coast versus West Coast. No no change, no swap over in the first week. So, you know, let's talk about the first match, because it seems as though Nola gets the first match quite often.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. What do you think of just generically the organization of this weekend schedule? No Friday games. There are a few Friday games, but the fact that they're running three games in a row distinctly. So conceivably, you can watch as a fan if you're really super dedicated. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if any of you guys are like that, but you can watch three games in a row on Saturday, three games in a row on Sunday, and not have to watch anything, you know, that's you know, post-broadcast.
Well, I think in week one, it's very similar to our college football schedule we see as far as the timing, right? You know, games, they have a game kickoff at 12, they have a game kickoff at 4, they have a game kickoff around 8. Similar timing, obviously, it could be stacked a little closer together. What I do like is, while, you know, I want to watch Seattle versus San Diego, because we have TRN, we can watch it the replay, right? So I don't have to stay awake and, you know, be up all hours of the night to watch it. And same thing if you're looking at Sunday with the RFC LA versus Dallas. Now, the only thing I would say when you're looking at the RFC versus Dallas and in comparison to Seattle versus San Diego, at least Seattle and San Diego are in the same time zone. You know, Dallas is still two time zones away from LA. So really that game is 8 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday. A little tough, you know, a little tough for me to look at. And then you also have the Free Jacks and Anthem starting at 7 p.m. on a Sunday. You know, that's rough. And I come from the, you know, the Rooney every match on a Sunday, but all those matches were starting at, you know, 1, 2 o'clock, you know, pushing 3 o'clock, depending on, you know, the other schedule of things. So my question is, as an opposing fan of let's, you know, as a fan of Dallas, you know, isn't that kind of a rough schedule for you?
I don't know. I mean, the only timing wise, I don't know that it is. There's quite a few teams that'll play 7 o'clock PM, which is actually what time it would be in Dallas, right? They're 2 hours behind in LA. So a 9 o'clock start on Sunday night's actually a 7 o'clock.
Well, no, it's a 10 o'clock start on Sunday night. So an 8 o'clock start in Sunday night in Dallas.
Oh, I thought I saw it posted by the league that it was a 9 o'clock start. Let me just double
check. Because I'm talking East Coast, Rob. East Coast time.
But that's what I'm. So my point is that for Dallas, it's actually a 7 o'clock game.
Well, no, it would be no. If it's 10 o'clock minus two, because you move over two things, it would be an 8 p.m. game for Dallas on a Sunday to watch.
Hold on. Now. All right, I could find it, but I'll trust you.
My point being is it still seems late for Dallas.
Yeah.
If it's an 8 or a 9 o'clock. Actually, it's a 9 o'clock start. Excuse me. It's a 9 o'clock start for Dallas. No, 8 o'clock. Wait, I'm fucking confused now. You confused me. 7? No. If it's 10 on the East Coast, if it's 10 on the East Coast, it's 9 in Dallas because it's 8 Rockies. And 7 West.
Okay. Yeah, I am. So you're right. I am seeing 9 p.m.
See, I was right the first time. You're just Eastern fucking confused. Standard
time. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, you're right, in the same time zone as Dallas.
That's still a 7 p.m. start for Dallas. Let me.
No. It's a 7 p.m. start in Los Angeles. I'm saying if you're a Dallas fan and you want to watch.
All right. Hold on.
Yeah. So now you're starting the match at 9 p.m. on a Sunday to go till 11 p.m. in Dallas.
Yeah, you're right. It does post 9 Central Standard when I look at the actual website. Right. It is rough. I think for me, the rough part, I don't care how you cut the cake. For me as a Dallas Jackal, it's hard to play late on a Sunday and then get back in your match schedule for the following week. You know what I'm saying? Like if it were a 5 o'clock Sunday game, it's not quite as bad because you might be able to get out in time to get home on late Sunday night, get yourself some rest on Monday and recover. But a lot of teams this year are actually Wednesday's the day off.
Mm-hmm.
right? So you kind of have to shift that. If you're getting in, you might leave Sunday night after the game. You're probably not likely, probably leaving Monday. And so Monday is your travel day. And so it kind of shifts your total week schedule to where now teams are a team in this situation is going to have to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Interestingly, if you're looking at RFCLA's schedule, home schedule, most of their home games start at 6 p.m. Eastern. So you're talking about 3 p.m. start Pacific. So I would probably say that this week one start time at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific is a one-off due to scheduling of their new stadium. How much you want to bet there's some type of event or something going on?
Well, there is an event. The LA Sevens.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit, there we go.
Yeah, that's why they're doing that.
A double header. But again, you're fucking the MLR fans.
Yeah, but I suppose the residual benefit of having a bunch of captive rugby fans already in stadium, already involved, buying tickets is worth the trade-off.
I understand. My point is, I understand they're in the stadium. Okay, great.
Right.
But again, as a Dallas fan, you're going to try and watch all the Sevens.
No,
it's stay up to try and watch your team. It's a pain. I'm just saying it. I feel like that's a pain in the butt. And while I understand what they're trying to do in stadium to build RFCLA, I feel like that's a dig at Dallas fans and the schedule. Listen, the schedules are never going to be perfect, Rob, but no, I don't know. True. To me, for week one, you have a team traveling and then they have to play the next Sunday at 4 p.m. at home. You know, it's weird. It seems weird to me, and I understand what they're trying to do. But again, like, I think sometimes you have to not worry about that and worry about what's going on, you know, as far as player safety, you know, and hopefully this new CBA they're going to work out speaks to that. But all right, so we talked enough about Dallas and LA. Give us some gold on Nola Gold and OGs, because Nola Gold not making the playoffs last year, OGs getting their first playoff win against New York coming up.
First playoff berth this last season too. Yeah. It's an interesting matchup. But
No,
they didn't make the playoffs before. This was their
first. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm thinking Rooney played Atlanta in 2022. That's what it was.
Yeah. So I'm not going to tip too much of my hand. You'll have to watch the broadcast, but you know, you've got two new coaches, brand new coaches this year for both OG as well as, for the Nola Gold, Corey Brown coming in from the Nola Gold, and you know, the OG's Josh Sims stepping away, and I had his name on the tip of my tongue. He's a Scotsman coming in for OGDC. My apologies to everybody out there from OG. I'm having an old man brain fart, but nonetheless. So I guess I would say that'll be interesting. It's hard to get a bead on either one of these two teams, their style of play. Thank you, Simon Cross. How they might play. You got, you know, a number of members turnover in OGDC. You got some new blood in there, and the Nola Gold have a few new players, but they largely have a strong core. I think the big question is the 9-10 combinations from each team. I think as the 9-10s play in both of those teams, you see the team play. I have it on word that we may not see Tusitala start this match, that you may see Connor Buckley start. Connor Buckley's a spark plug. He got a lion's share of the minutes in the pregame match last weekend. But the 9-10 combination, Jason Robertson coming back from France to play with OG. And then, of course, you had that 9-10 combination with Rodney Iona being the key at number 10. It's a question whether Damian Stevens or Luke Campbell or even Villani, but probably Stevens or Campbell will be at the 9 spot. So I think as those combinations go, that's how you're going to see this game go. There are a couple other key areas around the pitch that I'm looking for, but I'll talk about that on the broadcast come Saturday.
Yeah. You know, Connor Buckley, obviously, you know, playing a lot of minutes for New York, his time in New York, playing under Andy Ellis, playing under, oh my God, the other Connor, killing me. I'm seeing his face.
Connor McManus,
you know, coming off, being a, you know, a collegiate all-star at Iona. You know, Scott Lawrence last year was giving him a look. Didn't invite him to camp. You know, I'm sure he got some constructive criticism because that's what Scott likes to do, to tell guys why he's not selecting them. He's pretty upfront with them. So he's going to work on it. So it's interesting that they might be starting Connor Buckley over Danny Tuisotala. Danny has plenty of experience here. I do feel that Connor kicks a little better. So depending on their game plan, maybe they're looking to do some kicking and counter kicking. And you have the guy with the better foot, in my opinion, at that nine spot right there. So the next game is actually the Fox Sports game of the week on FS2. Utah going down to play the Sabercats. And you talk about, you know, 9-10 combinations. Most likely, Carl Denison obviously is probably going to start with the 9 and AJ Alatimu start at the 10. And Alatimu, you know, with his time at Seawolves in 2022 and 2023 was just amazing. So I really feel like the Sabercats are going to look really good. And we have another sighting of the missile. Jeremy Misilogalu back in the league on the wings there for Houston, along with Christian Dyer and Jerry Lebrishane. You know, so we're seeing a Sabercats team that I think has kind of reasserted itself. Marno Reglingheis over in the back row, Johan Momsen moving over, CC Mahoney there again. You know, I think, you know, you're going to see, especially in the pack, a lot of that obviously South African influence. They're unfortunately for Utah, and this is just historic, this isn't talking shit, they don't do well on the road. You know, it's just tough, especially when they're going to play tough teams up front. They don't do well on the road. So I really, really skeptical about what they're going to do. Robbie Povey moving to Utah there for the 10. You know, Paul Lasky still there in the centers. Mika Kruse. I mean, they have a really good set of backs, and they have a decent set of pack guys. You know, obviously Paul Mullen's still there. You know, this would be a tough one. I think if Utah can punch them in the mouth in the first 10 minutes and show me something, I think they'll have a better result. But I got to go historically that Utah's going to start off slow. Right, Rob?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think typically they do. And don't forget, these two teams battled it out right at the end of the season last year for that final playoff spot. It came down to the wire. And I think it was just the last match was a determining factor between Utah being left out in the cold of the playoff hunt and Houston getting in. I will say that Joel Hodgson, the 10 from Utah, I really like how he plays the game. I think he really commands and directs those backs really well. Super creative. There's a lot of dynamic play with him at the helm. So, you know, if he can unleash some of those talented backliners like Kruse, you know, I'm thinking of him. I'm thinking of guys like, you know, Power of Lusike, Tomasi Tonga, you know, mm-hmm. Let's see. Who else is in there that I can think of? Let's see. And you know, Spencer Jones, they can be dangerous. And we've always seen those flashes, but it's a question of which Utah team's going to show up and show out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you know, historically, slow starters don't do well on the road. So let's see if they can get over that hump. Yep, go for it.
I was going to say one interesting thing is that, you know, like I said, Hodgson is super dynamic and he's a really good tactical kicker. I'll be interested to see how he uses his tactical kicking boot throughout the game. Because with Labashagne, you know, on one wing, I think Labashagne 6'4", 6'5", it really, you know, putting the ball up in the air to him is a dangerous proposition because, you know, he can go up and fetch it. You know, he's got pace, you know, he can get around the pitch and find soft shoulders. But so look to see what Hodgson does with that tactical kicking skill set.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. What I was going to say is we're going to see if I'm proved right here. When we did our Kitmas episode, you know, I did say one of the biggest disappointments would have been the Sabercats home jersey because the pattern doesn't look good. And so far, as we've seen the social media, the big guy seems to be right. If they're going with the, I believe their yellow was the home. It's going to be a tough one. Well, I'm pretty sure yellow was the home, but the black ones look great, but the yellow, I don't know. It might not be good. So then to round off the day, back to TRN at 10 PM Eastern, we have, Legion going up to, Starfire. And you talk about tactical kicking. Check out the fullbacks for, Legion this year. They have Alex Warren, Chris Mattina, Mikey Tao. Chris Mattina is that tactical kicker. You have Alex Horn, who can also kick, and Mikey Tao, we know, is just going to, you know, run it back. But I really like the fullbacks because you could really change the game if you wanted to suit what's going on when you take somebody off the field. You know, if you want to take somebody off the field and say, let's do some kicking now with Mattina, let's run it back with Mikey Tao. I think that's interesting. You know, Ryan James, the wing, obviously, you know, you're 9-10. Most likely going to be Nick Boyer and Matt Gateau. Your centers to take. I'm with Marcel Baraki and Mahananu. Come on, dude. Like, those are crazy centers. You know, my buddy Charlie Hewitt, obviously a lock over there. He's another guy who's going to get a look for the USA soon. You know, big up front, big guys up front. Hugh Roach moving over from Chicago over there. You know, I think Legion is a stacked team, Rob. They're stacked, man.
They are stacked, but I will say that Clarkie has the Seattle Seawolves prepared all the time. He's super detail oriented. He is hyper focused on making sure the lads know what style of game they want to play. And quite frankly, you know, he has core leadership that's been with that team for almost five or six seasons. You know, Rykert Hadding, of course. And then you have J.P. Smith, who always produces fastball, who's always a threat with a snipe or two, and who really knows how to marshal those forwards around the pitch. So Seattle's going to be a tough, tough matchup in this one, especially because they will have the 16th man at Starfire playing at home. It's a tough place to play. It's a small venue. The crowd is always into it. And I know Matt Cartwright, our good friend of the Rugby Rant, and LeVon, they'll have the crowd fired up and ready to go. Yeah. I think that San Diego is going to be in for a dogfight.
I think so too. I mean, there's some concerns though for Seawolves going forward. You know, Mason Peterson has a season-ending injury, right? That's tough. Mm-hmm. That's a tough that way. You know, a tight head. Your tight head goes down. He's done. The season hasn't started. And then they had, you know, Devin Short and Nekhai Penny were supposed to be on the roster, and they've fallen off. And granted, they've taken a young guy in Reed Davis. He's a Canadian under 20. And then they signed Tara Pryor, you know, who's been in the MLR now for quite a long time. And you also have, Hago Heine over there, who's played with Tara Pryor now for 3 years. So I think that's a natural pack selection for them. But again, you know, you lose your tight head at the beginning of the season. It's going to be tough, especially with the monsters of the Legion there, dude. So I do think the 16 man comes out. Obviously, they're going to show out and do their thing. And just talk about real quick, fans, you know, our buddy Matt made sure that Marcus and Sean can bring all their gear and not have an issue with security, because in this day and age, guys bringing swords and weapons into a stadium could be an issue. But obviously, you know, one of the things we try and do here is make sure that the fans can come and rep and make sure the cohort can do what they need to do, even in a away stadium. So it's good to see that. So the next game we have is Hounds going down to Miami, the new look Miami Sharks playing a decent Hounds team. You got two Ironworkers going after each other in Dylan Fawcett and versus Benja Bonasso. Benja's really first time he's been in action since like week 2, week 3 of the MLR. He got injured in last season and you know, couldn't really do anything. Rob, what do you have to say about our new team in the Chicago Hounds there?
Well, I went to a training last week and watched for that hour and a half, and the guys are chomping at the bit. The boys are ready. And I tell you what, there is one hell of a squad here in Chicago. They have massively improved the roster. They've turned over 60% of their roster, and the guys that they've kept are core guys. You know, so you're talking about the likes of Charlie Abel, Patty Ryan, Lerone White, but then they bring in and Fred Apolu, but then they bring in a guy like Zarubi Javania. They bring in, of course, Dylan Fawcett. They bring in, you know, Giannis Venter. So, and then they, and then locks George Merrick coming from the Prem at second row. Of course, our guy, big friend of the show, Brad Tucker, Tucks, coming to that lock position. And then they've got a host of back row guys, guys that can really fetch that ball. So you're looking at guys like Lucas Rumball, of course, Mason Fletch, both from Toronto coming in. They've got a bunch of guys that brought over from Ireland, Connell Bomer, and Ben Landry should help in the engine house right here from Wisconsin. And of course, my boy, Tinashe Maxena, getting a lot of looks at the end of the season. And then, you know, you've got a 9-10 combination that has started for probably, what, 8 matches for the USA in Nick McCarthy and Luke Carty. You know, I mean, and then you got Bryce Campbell also, you know, getting a lot of minutes, you know, in some of the in probably half the internationals that had transpired over the last 12 months, along with a guy like Billy Meeks, Mark O'Keefe, who's, you know, going to be, I think, domestic eligible very shortly. So, you know, the Hounds are going to be a team that, you know, don't sleep on them. They're going to be really, really good.
I know, but I think that 9-10 for the Sharks is going to be good. Cabelli and Echeverry. You know,
oh, for sure.
Have your South American influence there. You know, your buddy Connor Burns at center.
Yeah. Everybody's watching that is going to watch that San Diego and Seattle match. People are going to put a priority in that. But I think this might just be a better match to watch if you had to choose between the two because you had limited time this weekend.
I think one of the other things for the Sharks is they have really two young props in Alec McDonald and Jonas Petrakopoulos, both friends of mine. I like to see that they're both on the roster together. I think that'll push some looks for them in other teams. You know, Jonas obviously not eligible for USA, but Alec is. And, you know, we're going to need some prop cover soon. You know, our props are getting up there in age. Sean McNulty at hooker, probably going to start there. As we talked about, Benjamin Osso, Dan Pryor, Kara's brother, you know, in the back row. So, I mean, they have a pretty decent pack, even though it's a young front row. You know, I do think the Hounds take this one, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as they think. And also, let's be honest, it could be one of those weekends where it's unseasonably warm and the Hounds have, you know, a fitness issue because they haven't been able to practice in that type of environment. We've seen it before. We've seen teams from the Northeast have to go south. It's unseasonably warm and they can't take it sometimes. You know, it's just the way it is. Next one, Anthem RFC. Got the defending champs, the New England Free Jacks, coming down to Anthem. You know, Anthem is going to be a good look, but we'll talk real quick about you know, the Free Jacks. Obviously, you know, Kyle Sakara, Caleb Geiger, Foster DeWitt in there, you know, for hookers, for props. Mason Koch, Andrew Quatrin for hookers, you know, so their front row is looking good. Kyle Bailey, Josh Larson, Jackson Thebes, Connor Keys. I mean, just all-star locks. And I talked about locks before, and sometimes we have issues where you run out of them. But, you know, you have four pretty much all-star locks going in there. Wayne Conradi, Cam Davidowitz, shout out to his dad. He's a good dude. Like to jab him a little bit. He's a fun dude, though. Again, 9-10. Right, probably gonna go. I don't know. They have New England has really good scrum halves. I feel like Holden Younger doesn't get the playing time he deserves.
I'd agree with that.
If you agree,
I'd agree with that. I mean, he was rostered in the final, but I think I don't know if he might have gotten a minute or two in that final. John Poland got a lion's share of the minutes. Which, by the way, is dangerous over the long term. If you, God forbid, have an injury, and you haven't given your other, you know, scrum halves an opportunity to get some touches on the ball, it can be kind of dangerous. Speaking of scrum half, shout out to Will Chevalier, Okay. I've known that kid since he was in the fourth grade, and I love to see that he made a roster and that he's out there with last year's champs. I think, I mean,
Jason Petras is going to be the 10. We know that.
Yeah. Patros will be the 10, of course. Not a bad option. Reese McDonald, if you have to go with it. I think the centers is the key to look at in this particular match. Mm-hmm. You've got Ben Lesage and Leroux. I don't know what Leroux Milan's status is like. I know he got injured last year.
Late in the season, right?
Yeah, late in the season. So I don't know if he's returned to action or not. But watch out for them if you're the anthem for Leroux Milan. I would have probably selected him as my MLR, one of my two MLR centers from last mm-hmm. season.
Absolutely. He really did well up until that injury. And we're just going to assume Boden Waka is going to show up at some point, like right before the playoffs. So just be on the lookout for them. Unfortunately, I think this is one of those, what do they call it in tennis, a service match. Anthem, unfortunately, I think doesn't have the firepower to go up really toe-to-toe with the former champions. Although my buddy Joe Basser is over there at the back row. He's another guy, born in New York, raised in Australia, eligible for to be an Eagle. He's a young guy, back row guy. If you're looking at our back row, you're looking, Benja Bonasso, obviously, young guy, right? But Cam Dolan getting up there, a bunch of the other guys getting up there, Greg Peterson, look at those guys you have and say, what happens? Who's the next man up? And I truly feel like Joe Basser is that guy, and Scott Lawrence should be taking a look at him. Sean Yakubian, part of the scrum halves there, Shane Barry, Clive Lobister there too, part of the fly halves. I mean, so you're going to see guys that are on those Hawks teams that we talked about and things like that. Again, I think it's going to be a tough one.
So I'll be interested to see how the wing play goes. You got a couple of LU products, Linwood products, Tyron Algebori, Cale Hodgson coming over there. And then, David Still has been part of the Sevens program. So, he has seen some international action and brings that experience. And then, of course, Caleb Strum, who was with Chicago last year, just has, he might be one of the fastest players in the league, from point to point. It'll be interesting to see how his growth goes over the last season from last year to this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to move on to the last match that we talked about before. We'll just talk about, some of the rosters. So you have, Dallas going over to LA. Just looking at the rosters, I'm really liking the back row there. Jason Dam, Matt Heaton there for LA. And Holland's head coming in. I think, in my opinion, he had a lot of play in, I believe he was in Japan last year. I'm trying to remember. No, he was in D2. He was in France last year, D2. Jason Emery going to start at center, definitely. Andrew Cole, Will Leonard on the wings. I mean, you're talking about probably two top five MLR wings there. So I think your wing center fly half combo is going to do some damage. And that's not knocking a Dallas team, because I think Dallas is going to do actually well, even though they have to travel. But I do feel like there's something about having the juice. It's your first week of the MLR, first home match in front of your fans. You have the juice from the Sevens tournament, so I think LA is going to squeak one out on this, Rob, but I do see Dallas being way better than they were last year.
Yeah, I think they'll have a much improved roster. They've had another year to have their current coaching staff stuck in, and some of their players, in and around camp a little earlier. I'm interested to see how Jordan Chait comes. He came over from Seattle, was in Seattle last year. He's bringing his wares down to LA. The young man, Antiseb, who was a draftee from last year, I'm not saying he'll get a lot of minutes early on, but I will be watching his growth. It's one thing that in the United States we need to do a better job is developing American fly halves. So if we could, again, it'd be interesting to see him grow, but I know that Chait and Hollinshead will kind of play much more of a featured role for that LA side. But I'll be interested to see how Dallas does in this match. See if they can get their, you know, a solid win early on and develop some continuity, develop, get that ball rolling, so to speak, into the start of the season. Cause once you get that first one, it's not quite as hard to get that second and third one, going throughout the season.
Yep, absolutely. And it is kind of a long, a little bit of a long episode, but real quick, the MLR just dropped the postseason format they're going with this year. So it's broken up between the conferences. So again, the Eastern Conference is Anthem, Hounds, OGDC, Sharks, Free Jacks, and NOLA. Western Conference is the Jackals, the Warriors, the Seahawks, the Sabercats, RFCLA, and Legion. And it's broken up the top four teams in each conference are going to go to the playoffs. The one seed plays the four, the two seed plays the three. In both of those conferences, there is no bye week. And then between those winners, they play each other. The winners of the 1-4 and 2-3 play each other. And then obviously that winner is the conference champion. And then they go on to play in the MLR championship on August 4th. Rob, so, real quick. Yeah. What do you have for the format?
I like the format. You know, you kind of feel like everybody wins a trophy because out of the conferences, six teams in each conference, that is, only two are locked out from the playoffs. But on a fan side, you got to love it in the sense that you have a really good chance of seeing your team at least get into the playoffs and getting one more game in there. And certainly if you're one of the top teams, one of the top two teams, you benefit at very least from one extra playoff home match, you know, in the playoffs. I like that component of it. One of the things I was going to ask your thoughts on, but I'll throw mine out there, and then I'm interested to hear what you think of. You know, when we watch the NFL, one of the questions that inevitably always comes up when you talk about postseason and you talk about bye weeks is that team that gets the bye week, you know, are they going to be rusty in that first playoff match? And would you rather be that team that has a bye week and can rest up? Or would you rather that team have, you know, have that first round playoff, have a bit of momentum, get some continuity and momentum going into that, you know, that all important, semifinal. So that's my question to you. What are your thoughts on that? I kind of like the idea. It takes all that out of there just by saying those four, every one of the four teams plays in the first round, winners play in the second round, and et cetera.
I understand that thinking, but I also feel like in this league with these teams in this sport, I would prefer to have a bye week if I was the number one. If I was doing the format, I'd do top three teams and have the bye week. Reason being is, you know, game of attrition. You might need that extra week. Sometimes you need that extra week to kind of lick your wounds and get patched up from all the nicks and stuff. And a good teams can keep their momentum through that week, you know, and that lack of play to get rested up. And, you know, you have guys who are nicked up and they're worried about this and they're worried about that and their hammy's a little tight. You know, those extra 7 days could really help you. You know, it depends on the team. You know, sometimes the team has to be about the flow. But I truly believe if you work that hard to get the number one, there should be some incentive.
Now, think about this from a fan perspective. And again, throwing this back at you, I kind of leaned on this a little bit in my comments. Is as a fan of, let's say, the top team in the conference, you technically only get one playoff game, right? Potentially, if you're, let's see, 2, 3, or 4, and let's say you're the 4 seed, and you win that first round, no, you don't have a home match, but you won't have you won't have a home match at all because you'll be probably matched up against the 3 seed. Or you think they're going
to So no, they won't reseed. They shouldn't reseed it. What should it should just be whoever's the highest seed gets that home match.
Right.
So
right.
If you're the 4 seed, you'll never have a home match unless you're in the championship and that's where the neutral site is in that year.
Right. Right. And I don't know. I kind of think it's a rather interesting concept where your 2 seed could actually conceivably, you know, if some magic happens and 4 beats a 1, you could have 2, mm-hmm. you know, 2 home matches in the playoffs, which is kind of cool, you know. On the flip side, your 4 seed might never have a home match, even if they play well in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would never have a home match until, you know, again if they made the championship in some site. So, but again, I don't think, and maybe that's what the teams wanted this year to get that extra revenue for that number one seed. But in my opinion, I think number one should get the bye and it should be the top three. Anyway, guys, we have one last announcement. We're doing a new segment, and we're gonna do it at the beginning of the episodes upcoming, but we're gonna give our Super Brew, what do we call it?
The Rugby Rants Lock of the Week.
Presented by Rugby Now, powering MLR Shop. So Rob, what is your lock of the week this week?
Well, this one for me was a no-brainer. I wanted and felt compelled to pick something else because I'm pretty sure I know which one you're going to pick, and I wanted to pick something different just, you know, to create some variety, but it's hard not to. I got to go with the Free Jacks over the Anthem. You know, it's just, I saw how difficult it was for the Hounds to build a roster last year and get some depth and get some continuity coming into the season, and they had started that process in October. Here, we didn't see the Anthem kind of get the ball rolling until December. And then you're up against the last year's champs who, you know, have a team playing on the ARP, or at least some of their players are able to get, you know, cut their wares in the ARP in the fall. Some guys are sticking around in country. And you know, they've got a set system down. It's going to be hard to beat week one.
Gotcha. So my lock of the week is actually RFCLA. Again, I'm a big guy on juice. I'm a big guy.
You changed it up. You didn't go where I thought you would go.
Yep. I think it's going to be tough for Dallas to travel. Again, it's a late match. You know, we talked about LA and their backs there. Again, a lot of them, my friends. Dan Hollinshead at 10, Jason Emery in the centers, Cohen and Leonard in the wings. Rory Van Vault at fullback. I just think they're going to have a high-flying team. And because these guys have played in the MLR before and some of them have played with each other or for the same organizations, I think you're going now in the MLR.
You got a lot of exchange. Minutes.
Yeah, plenty of minutes. And I think what you're going to see now is as guys change teams, there's not going to be that clunky, oh, we have to find a way to play together. You know, because it's you're not adding as many new guys. You have a lot of older guys in the league shifting to places, you know, and understand how the teams play because they've played against them. I think they win by three. I'm doing -3 LA because I do think, you know, things can go wrong. It's their first match and stuff like that.
Well, you're doing a line on yours, huh? You're giving some.
Yeah, I always got to do the line, baby. Let's get hot. Let's
do a line. I'm going to go 19. I'm going to go Free Jacks by 19. On my
I have 15, and I feel that's conservative. But, you know, I again, first match of the season, you never know. There could be handling errors and things like that. What did you think? I was going to go Hounds over Sharks? No,
I thought you'd go with Free Jacks. But maybe I underthunk it.
Yeah, I mean, no, I just I thought that was the obvious answer.
Free Jacks just because you don't like them.
No, I thought that was the obvious answer.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to pick it, so I didn't want to. I truly feel that LA is gonna do some damage this year, even though they're in the stack conference. But anyway, guys, again, join the Super Brew.
Yep. I want to mention that. I was gonna say, you know, you can talk about Super Brew, but before we do that, you know, Shop MLR powered by, you know, Rugby Now. Jerseys are starting to come in. I got my jersey when I went to the practice the other day, but I've got the Kappa kit here. I normally in the Paladin wear a double XL. Okay. This is a triple. So they fit a little narrower in the shoulders. So I went with a triple. It fits pretty nice. Sleeves are a little loose. It's not the tight sleeve let we saw from the Paladin. So just be aware of that. But other than that, you know, I'd probably size up, folks.
Sounds good. You know, we kind of knew that was going to happen with that European fit. Yeah. But be aware when you're purchasing the merch, we always like to tell you what's going on. But guys, you know, make sure you guys are signing up for the Subaru contest. Nose Afar, NOSEAFAR is the password there. Check out Rugby Rant Podcast to join our league, and you have a chance to win some money. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, baby. Week one of the MLR is upon us. Can't wait. And not friggin' wait. We will see you guys at the next.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.